The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've always been a little perplexed about why we have this gospel and why we celebrate the Transfiguration Sunday right at the beginning of Lent. And it makes sense scripturally. I think it doesn't make sense for me personally as I take on my penances. I think, you know, I kind of don't want the whole bright light and radiating glory. I'd rather kind of be in the dark a little bit as I take on my penances. But there's reason why, scriptural reason why, and many more besides why we celebrate this Sunday of the Transfiguration today. Jesus, just before this, has told his disciples, who have come to see him as Messiah, that his messiahship is to entail his suffering and death. That sounds like the beginning of Lent, right? So he's going to suffer and die. Yes, I am the king. I am the King of glory, right? They realize that in him. In order to realize my kingdom and my kingship, I must suffer and die. They can't take it. They can't take it at all because they're joining with Jesus in his triumph. And they don't want to think that the triumph is totally opposite to what they really want. They want power and prestige, just like everyone else. And they have to be then stripped of it to enter into Jesus's rule and to bring that rule to birth in the world. This, then, the Transfiguration comes on the heels of that declaration so that they can rest sure in the fact of Jesus's glory. They can rest sure in the fact of Jesus's communion with his Father and the Holy Spirit's work in him and through him. But this scene happens also, I'll say, looking towards the cross again. So it's a perfect Lenten gospel, which means that I got to get over my hesitations, right, in terms of listening to it. And I want for your meditation this morning to bring out a few points to show the parallels between this transfiguration scene, Jesus in his glory, and the scene of Jesus' crucifixion. And I want for us, perhaps, if we can, to hold these two images together as we make our way through Lent, and we also make our way in this world as disciples of Jesus. Okay. In this scene in front of us, we have Jesus on the mountain, radiating glory. In his crucifixion, we see him raised on a hill, covered in shame. Here, his clothes are dazzling white. There, his clothes have been stripped off. Here, he's on his left and right, Moses and Elijah, great heroes of Israel and of their faith. There, on his right and left, criminals, people in rebellion, right? To demonstrate the rebellion of the people of God. Here, a bright cloud covers him, covers the whole mountain. There, darkness covers the entire world. Here, Peter blurts out, "Let's stay here, build tents, we'll stay here together." There, Peter is nowhere to be found. Peter has run and he's hiding. Here, the voice of God says, "This is my beloved son." And there, that same declaration made now by a Roman soldier. My friends, the glory of the Lord is ours. It's ours to share in. Just as Jesus is there in this joy-filled prayer, so much so that he radiates God's glory. That's for us too. But the way of our glorification, the road that we have to walk, is likewise with Jesus. And it's a path that's filled with self-denial and self-sacrifice, doing and desiring the best for the people around us, even to the point of not having anything for us to gain as a result. That's what the crucifix shows us. That's what Jesus carrying his cross shows us, and that's what our Lent is all about. But let's not lose sight of the fact that we were made for glory. I think too often in our world, in our consumerist world, which we've all bought into, no pun intended, we're all there. We lose sight of that very fact. We think that, you know, we naturally pursue comfort. And it was one of our recent popes, and I can't remember whether it was Benedict XVI or it was John Paul II, who said, "You were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." We have to sometimes forego comfort and willingly give it up in order to embrace our greatness, the greatness of following Jesus in self-sacrifice, that self-sacrifice to the point of death that will have us share in the glory of God and bring that glory to life in the world around us.